I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. The anniversary this month of two deadly natural disasters in the Asia-Pacific region serves as a reminder for governments to build infrastructure, from roads to schools to hospitals, that can withstand future shocks. It has been 10 years since Cyclone Nargis slammed into Myanmar, killing 140,000. Days later, nearly 70,000 people, including 10,000 schoolchildren, lost their lives in a massive earthquake in China's Sichuan province. Loretta Heber-Girardet is the Asia-Pacific chief for the UN's Office Working on Disaster Risk Reduction, UNISDR. She spoke to Julia Dean during a recent visit to Australia.
So the month of May marks 10 years since Cyclone Nargis, which was really one of the biggest cyclones to ever hit the region in Myanmar. It hit a delta plain that had seen its mangrove cover completely destroyed, which meant the population was exposed to massive destruction. Over 140,000 people died in that disaster. The second anniversary was the anniversary of the earthquake in Sichuan province. And what's really tragic about that anniversary was that 10,000 children died when their schools collapsed because the schools had not been built to norm and the building codes hadn't been respected. So this month really indicates to us that these are two major disasters. Loss of life of over 200,000 people. The economic damages were in the tens and tens of millions, if not billions of dollars. What this means is that disaster risk reduction measures were lacking in these countries. Both of these disasters could have had far fewer deaths and economic losses had disaster risk reduction been put in place. Now, the good news is that both of these countries, Myanmar and China, have since taken measures to really address disaster risk. In Myanmar, this includes establishing a national plan that looks not only at immediate risks, but really has a much longer term perspective. And in China, they are enforcing very strictly building code measures, especially on public buildings such as school.
And what about infrastructure development in particular?
Well, Asia Pacific is seeing an era of tremendous growth and building of new infrastructure. And we really are seeing a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to build resilience into this infrastructure. We know that by the year 2030, 60% of the infrastructure that will exist hasn't yet been built. So now is the time to make sure that the roads, the telecommunication systems, the schools, the hospitals, the dams are all built and made resilient to the disasters that we know are coming, such as floods, earthquakes, and typhoons. So it's absolutely critical in this region, in Asia and in the Pacific, that infrastructure is made resilient. And this requires advocacy. It also requires the private sector to be much more aware of their responsibility to invest in a manner which is risk-informed. So that means it really takes into account the risks that these infrastructure investments will be facing and to take action to reduce these.
And we're in the Asia-Pacific region. Is there anything changing in terms of risks?
Absolutely. Asia-Pacific region is facing a tremendous urbanization challenge. Means that the number of people living in urban settings is growing substantially. By the year 2050, more than 60% of the population will live in urban settings, in cities. And we're seeing this growth fastest in secondary cities. Now, why is this an additional risk? Because they are exposed more to disasters. A single event in an urban setting could wipe out not only human life, but also tremendous economic gains, because of course the urban settings are where the economic growth is happening. And the other trend is climate change. We know that disasters are becoming more frequent and more intense. So these two trends alone, climate change and urbanization, means that risk is growing in the region. And there's a real need for the cities, the communities, and the governments at the national level to be much more aware of the risks and take measures to address these. And this, of course, is why the Sendai Framework, which is the International Agreement on Disaster Risk Reduction, is so important. It really lays out the framework by which governments, but a whole of society approach. So the private sector, civil society, NGOs can join forces to put in place the appropriate measures to reduce the risks associated with disasters.
And so your call to action would be?
A call to action is, first of all, see what is happening in your community, first and foremost, about understanding the risks and where you live. And here I'm visiting Australia. But even in Australia, we know that every community is facing different risks. Is there a risk of bushfire? Is there a risk of storms? Is there a risk of floods? Do we know what the risks are? It's actually surprising that very often communities do not have a good understanding what the risks are. And then if you are aware of what the risks are, is there a plan to address these risks? And not wait until disaster occurs. And I'm not talking about preparedness for disaster. I'm talking about longer term measures, such as decisions about where do we place this road? How do we build this school? How will we ensure that that airstrip is not going to be flooded? So it's really trying to understand risk differently and think about risk whenever we make decisions about investments. I'll give you another example. You know, communities that are being built along shorelines, they want a view of the sea. What is the risk associated with that when there is a storm, for example, or when there is a flood? So I think that that is a call to action. And again, we're seeing good action at the national level, but where we'd like to see more action is at the community level.